If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. From the last session onward, we started a series of discussion regarding the, or some of the jurisprudential laws or Islamic laws related to Khums, this, ritual Islamic tax on the annual income incumbent on every Muslim. And as you know, we do that, and this program is based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah or martyr, Shahid Ayatollah Khamenei. And we'd like to follow up with more questions regarding that important concept. Let me ask you this question at the beginning of this episode, Sheikh, if don't mind.
Sure.
An individual has savings, including Khums paid money and the money on which Khums has not been paid. Sometimes he withdraws from this total for annual expenses and sometimes adds money. If he knows the amount of Khums paid money, does he have to pay Khums on the whole amount or only on an amount on which Khums has not been paid?
Right. If Khums paid money and Khums unpaid money are mixed in the same account and they are deposited with the bank and it's saved up there, and withdrawals are made without a specific intention or even with the intention of spending Khums paid money, of course, the remaining balance is not subject to Khums, provided it does not exceed the amount of Khums paid money. You know, if it does exceed, then Khums should be paid on the excess. I mean that Khums is not payable on the amount which from which Khums had already been paid in the previous years, and the amount which is newly saved and newly added to the Khums, to that saving, is liable for Khums and has to be if it exceeds the balance. Because, for example, last year at this time you had $100, now you have $120. Now at least Khums should be paid on the $20, because that is an addition to the previous year's balance.
Mm.
Yes.
I see. Well, does one have to pay Khums on a shroud but unused for several years? Is it sufficient, Sheikh Javid, to pay Khums on its purchase price only or in terms of the current market value?
Right. That's a good question. Well, if the shroud was purchased using Khums paid money, it's not subject to Khums. If it was indeed bought with money on which Khums had not been paid, Khums must be calculated based on its current market value at the end of the Khums year. Okay, taking into account any devaluation of money, right? Now, payment on the purchase price alone is not sufficient, because Khums is due on the present value of the asset and not merely the cost at the time of the purchase. So that is always it's a general rule of Sharia. It's the rule of thumb, actually, that when something is purchased, the purchase price might be different from the current market value.
Yes.
So Khums should always be paid on the current market value of the item that is available and that has to be purified.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters, to RIB English Radio, the program Islamic Laws, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Well, we are speaking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to khums, according to the fatwas issued by Martyr Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, somebody asked us, I am a student of Islamic studies in an Islamic seminary. I use some of the, or my money, Sayyid's share, grants from others and borrowed money to purchase a small house. I have now sold it or the proceeds subject to khums at the end of the year if they have not been used to purchase another house.
Right. Well, according to His Eminence, al-Shaheed Ayatollah Sayyid Ali al-Khamenei, the sale proceeds from a house purchased using gifted money, using stipends from the Islamic seminary or other religious dues or loans, in fact, are not subject to khums. And this is the opinion held by His Eminence, al-Shaheed Ayatollah Sayyid Ali al-Khamenei.
Yes.
May Allah bless his soul, of course. But some other scholars, like Sayyid Sistani, believes that if the proceeds is not used within the year, then khums should be paid, right? And Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says no, khums is not payable on anything which is on the money which is received as stipends, and it's used to buy a house, to buy a piece of land, and so on and so forth. Khums only applies to personal earnings or income that is fully within one's ownership, and exceeds yearly living expenses. And indeed, money obtained through seminary stipends, charitable grants, or borrowed funds remains exempt, even if not immediately spent.
Mm-hmm, I see. Somebody asked us, Sheikh Javid, in 1962, I became a follower of Imam Khomeini in Taqlid and forwarded my khums to him. In 1967, he clarified that religious Jews and taxes include khums and zakat, and general taxes, of course, are not included. Now, in the period of Islamic government, what is my duty regarding religious Jews and taxes and general ones?
Right. Well, payment of taxes levied by the Islamic government according to legal rules is obligatory and counts as part of one's annual living expenses for the year of payment, right? But these taxes cannot be considered as khums or zakat, you know?
Yes.
Khums is totally different from the tax given to the government, and khums is an independent obligation on an income which is in excess of one's annual necessary expenses.
Mm.
So even during an Islamic government, one must calculate and pay khums separately on surplus income in addition to fulfilling government taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because that's one duty, this is another. They are two different things.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still speaking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to homes, the Islamic tax on the annual income incumbent on every Muslim, according to fatwas issued by martyr Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, can religious Jews or taxes be converted into hard currency with a fixed value, unlike fluctuating currencies? Is this permissible according to Islamic laws and Sharia?
Right. Yes, indeed, of course, a person who is indebted for homes may convert it into a hard currency, and when doing so, the value at the time of payment should be considered to ensure proper fulfillment of the obligation. But the thing is that an authorized wakil of the office of his religious of the religious authority in charge of homes, actually, yes, whose role is merely to collect and deliver homes, cannot change the currency without explicit permission. You know, if permission is granted, the conversion is allowed and fluctuation in value can be considered a valid Shari justification for the exchange.
Mm-hmm.
The key is ensuring the homes is delivered in full value according to the Sharia law and according to Islamic law.
I see. Well, a cultural institution opens a business using capital from religious tithe and Jews to fund its future expenses. Is homes obligatory on the profits? And can homes be utilized for developing the institution?
Right. Well, using homes for trade without permission from the authority in charge is not allowed. And the only person who can allow is the religious authority himself, just in case, you know, if that is to be used for developing a business or project or an institution, it must be done with the permission of the religious authorities, because it is his right and it is his discretion to say, yes, of course, the money can be invested, the money can be used for this and that purpose. So, and in the event that the trade happens, the profits follow the same rulings as the principal and are not subject to homes themselves, the profit. So they should be used for the same Shari purpose. And if the institution owns donated gifts and invests them, the resulting income or profit is not subject to homes. And there is no objection to investing the funds for the institution's growth, provided it's done lawfully.
We all know that homes, the 1/5 of the Islamic tax on the annual income is incumbent and obligatory on every Muslim individual. But the thing is, for some or in relation to some particular items, we have doubt whether we have paid homes on them or not. What is our duty regarding those items?
Well, if the item is subject to homes, you must ensure that the homes has been paid. Doubt alone does not remove the obligation. In such cases, even if you doubt, you cannot give the benefit of the doubt to yourself. You must give homes to make sure that you have actually done and fulfilled your duty. And the thing is that verification or consultation with a knowledgeable authority is required to confirm that homes is not neglected in this case.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. That was great actually talking to you. Thank you very much, dear audience, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We bid you farewell. And until another show that we, talk about some of the jurisprudential laws, especially related to homes, according to fatwas issued by martyr Ayatollah Khamenei. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
الظاهر والباطن على